is the Angry GM, and following my proofread aloud that I just proofread alouded, I am now taking questions and comments from the live listening peanut gallery on the Angry Discord. And as a reminder, if you pay careful attention, at random times on random days, I do record these proofread alouds live so that people can listen in and ask questions and make comments, which I then respond to. Proselys is asking, can I post the video link here? Presumably to the link to Adam Millard, Architect of Games video, Why Video Games Want You to Fail. The video has been posted here thanks to Wes Belmont. I notice in the chat, not in the question and comment thing, October Foundry saying, well, the insights of this article mess with a tabletop role-playing game conviction of mine. Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. The realization that maybe all of the arguments we have for saying, well, we have to allow games to fail, are all predicated on the idea that that's the only way to create challenge and consequences. When in reality, the very nature of a role-playing game makes challenge and consequences an inherent part of the experience already, as long as the GM is doing it right. So maybe we don't need to sweat it. And also, maybe it's just okay when the players can just, you know, pretty much win. Because in the other point, and I didn't make this point in the article just because the article was kind of a mess already. But the other point to make is this. In the end, when you look at the video games, and I talked about how video games, if you fail, you're just going to reload and try again, or respawn and try again, or reset and try again, whatever. And in the end, you're eventually going to win, right? So although failure and death and loss are a part of those games, they're also totally immaterial. Because they don't affect whether or not you actually do ultimately win. Winning a video game is purely a matter of persistence. No matter what the game, and no matter how it handles failure and loss, it doesn't matter whether you're playing like the original Super Mario Brothers and you have three lives and, you know, however many continues you can take, or you're playing like Dark Souls where you just respawn at the last bonfire every time you die, or something where it just, like, you know, you instantly respawn, you know, 30 seconds back like Meat Boy. The only determining factor as to whether you win or lose in the end is how persistent you're willing to be. And so why should, like, and that doesn't hurt the experience. It doesn't hurt the experience at all. It doesn't even keep us from saying, wow, this video game is challenging, or this video game is easy. And there are people who do give up, you know, and depending on the demands of the game, there are people who will give up on certain games, you know, because it's punishing, or because they don't think they'll ever get there, or they get frustrated or whatever, because there's different games for different people. There were a couple of other points I glossed over too. There is an idea, like, I was reading a very interesting, I can't even remember, I was either reading or watching something, and it was this weird subculture in the Dark Souls community based around the don't go hollow idea that, and this is based on the concept of psychological resilience, by the way, the fact that overcoming challenges that require persistence, any kind of challenge at all, actually increases your psychological resilience and your resistance to things like depression. So if you're the sort of person who likes to play hard video games and you keep playing them and you win, you know, after persisting, you are also less likely to give up on other things, especially things that matter. And this goes also into the, this is more of a recent science of willpower studies, where they're studying the nature of willpower and mental energy in general. But anyway, that was a whole thing that I was going to go into that I didn't. But also that is something like that whole persistence thing is literally something that can't exist in tabletop role-playing games, because in tabletop role-playing games, Actions are permanent. You can't just keep trying. Which also may be why trying to create the Dark Souls tabletop role-playing game is a doomed idea, because the media are so different that you can't capture the inherent themes of Dark Souls in a tabletop role-playing game in a way that doesn't hamstring them, in a way that still feels like Dark Souls. You can explore the idea of persistence and, ultimately the persistence versus nihilism, because that's a central theme of, like, the Dark Souls universe, right? Especially Dark Souls 1, the concept of you keep dying, and as long as you keep going, you maintain your humanity and you can always restore your humanity. But the minute you give up, the minute you go hollow, basically you stop being human and life is meaningless, and then you just become a zombie. October Foundry is now asking a follow-up question, thankfully, so that I don't have to keep doing this speech. Is it fair to conclude that it's less important to concern ourselves with win or loss, but instead to focus on persistent consequences? Win or loss and difficulty are based on adventure and campaign design, perhaps. Well, yes, that is precisely the core of the argument. That, yeah, stop sweating this whole idea of failure and loss and even challenge, and accept the fact that the very nature of tabletop role-playing games, if you administer them properly, will do exactly what you want them to do without you needing to worry about, well, what happens if, how do I build failure into this? Like, the need for failure is this artificial thing that we've kind of convinced ourselves that it needs to be there, because we weren't noticing that the things that failure creates were already inherent in tabletop role-playing games. And it's one of the things that makes tabletop role-playing games what they are and unique from any other medium. Wes Belmont, I think this is what leaves me dissatisfied with pre-written adventures. This is the thing that leaves you dissatisfied with pre-written adventures? Really? If the party dies, we continue with a new one, but there isn't much along the way towards the end that matters. I will disagree wholeheartedly, okay? And that varies from pre-written adventure to pre-written adventure as much as it varies from GM to GM, okay? It depends very heavily on the pre-written adventure that you're running, okay? But that's also really the issue at the core of this, right? Is that that's part of the consequence of recognizing that something can't be implemented at the system level, okay? There is a discussion that never happens in tabletop role-playing games, because we don't even talk about the assumptions. But I've talked about the assumptions, and you, my followers, have now understand this assumption. Is that a tabletop role-playing game like Dungeons & Dragons is an engine. It is a system for running games. The game and the actual complete game experience is the module. It's the adventure. It's the campaign. It's whatever you're running, whether you wrote it yourself or someone else wrote it, whether it was published and sold, or whether you downloaded it online, or whether you're making it up as you go. The system is a game engine, and the module or adventure or campaign is the game, okay? There are certain things that can be done on the system level, certain things that come from the engine. There's certain things that can only come at the game design level, at the level of using the engine to provide a particular and specific game experience and tell a particular and specific story, okay? The engine can't do everything. Okay, and one of the big problems in tabletop role-playing games is figuring out how to get the engine to do as much of the game design as possible so that any given person can come along and create a halfway decent game without themselves having to be an expert game designer. But there is always going to be some level of expertise that the adventure writer has to bring. Okay, that at some point, the you know, in video games, there's game design or programming or engine design, and then there's scenario design, right, or level design. Okay, and no matter how good my game engine, okay, you can give me the entire game engine of Mega Man with the tight controls and everything else, but if I don't have the level design chops and understand all of the brilliant bits of level design that go into a Mega Man game, because they are a master of platforming level design, at least the old ones were, then you are not going to produce Mega Man. You can use all of the rules and all of the programming that the Mega Man designers had, and you won't produce Mega Man. You can have the most detailed design tools ever. You can have your Super Mario level makers or your Zelda Classic or whatever it is. But if you don't know how to put together a halfway decent scenario, you're going to turn out crap, and there's nothing the engine can do to help you. Other than, of course, write tutorials and try to explain to someone, look, this is the art of scenario design. But at the same time, you have to understand that scenario design is an art, and it's no different from trying to teach someone how to paint. Okay? I can run you, I could sit here right now and I could go through painting tutorials. I could watch every Bob Ross episode, try to imitate everything he does. Okay? But in the end, my ability to become a painter is going to rely on other factors, my own personal eye for color and creativity and my ability to synthesize what Bob Ross says and then build on it and explore it in my own way. And, oh, I have a 5-minute warning, and I got that 5-minute warning 2 minutes ago. Okay. The sad truth is this. No matter how well you try to teach people, not everybody can design an adventure. Some people are going to design a crap. It's going to suck. They're not going to have the chops for it. And no matter how much you try to design or teach people how to design an adventure, lots of people aren't going to put the work in. Okay, they're not going to practice. They're going to read the lessons, but reading doesn't make you better. Okay, reading only tells you what to practice. It's actually doing the practice that does the thing. And so essentially, this is where we come to now. We can argue until we're blue in the face that failure and consequences and loss should all be handled at the system level, but the system can't do it. So we need to learn to do it ourselves, but that means any given module anybody plays in is a crapshoot. It's going to come down to how well that writer of adventures actually implemented these ideas. And, teach all you want, you're not necessarily going to make it work every time. Okay, the final question comes from Hatelift. To the extent that I've worried about or been sad about failure states, it does seem to be a question of how can the story be good and meaningful without character continuity? Well, I mean, that's the same question as saying, how can a story be good or meaningful if a character dies in the middle? And the answer is any movie, book, or TV show or video game in which a character dies. Nobody said, well, Final Fantasy VII, it became totally meaningless after Aeris died. I've had character deaths at my table that have, some of them are just, they happen in passing and they suck, which is in itself kind of a story. I had a recent death at my table of a wizard, and the party was talking about her and what they were going to do with her body. And they said, they realized she had no family, no one cared about her, and she didn't even like the town she grew up in. There was nowhere to put her. And, there was just that moment where everybody just sort of, in a virtual sense, kind of looked at each other and just realized how sad that was. How tragic this person's death actually was, because they died and left literally no impact on the world. You know, so that's a story too. So the story is what you make of it. The idea that a character, that if any character can die, or if all the characters can die, suddenly the story can't be meaningful or good. That's a false dilemma. That is not really a thing. Okay, it's again, it comes down to the story itself, which, and that's always going to be the answer. Nobody likes that answer, but it comes down to the story itself. It's going to come down to the game master. It's going to come down to the players. Did you make that shit meaningful? But I will say this, the more engagement you have built in your game overall, the more emotional attachment, the more any given death is going to be meaningful. But I have a whole separate article about that coming, and that is not for today, because today the Q&A portion is done.